In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we come to this next signpost on our journey towards the Kingdom of Heaven, specifically towards Great and Holy Pascha, the Lord's Resurrection. And we're preparing our hearts and minds and our souls for Great and Holy Lent, which begins a week from tomorrow. Today is what's called Meat Fair Sunday, or the Sunday of the Judgment. So practically speaking, this is the last day we eat meat before the Lord's Resurrection on Pascha, on April 8th. And so we slowly, the Lord in this church knows our weakness, knows we have to ease into things. Use up the end of that stuff in your fridge. And then tomorrow and the rest of this week, we eat the rest of the dairy and the things in our fridges and such. We don't waste them. And then we're easing into the fast, right? Stop eating meat, then ease our bodies into it, and ease our souls into it. So we're ready. The church is preparing us for something powerful. And every Sunday, these past few Sundays, you've seen these very pointed readings and lessons to help get us ready to climb this mountain, to Pascha. Last week's is one of the most beautiful, the prodigal son. Who doesn't love the prodigal son? Who doesn't love the reality and the truth that there's no sin that God can't forgive? And that he waits with a broken heart, with an excited heart, waits for us to take one step towards him, to come to ourselves, as we talked about, to run to him with humility, realizing that what it's like away from God, and he runs out to meet us and puts on the robe and the fatted calf and rejoices in the liturgy. He gives us baptism, the robe of baptism. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the ring of the Holy Spirit in chrismation. He slays the fatted calf, Holy Communion, and he has a party. The Father said the liturgy. This is offered to all of us, and I always leave so inspired. But human nature is fickle in the fall, and we love extremes. We really struggle with the balanced royal path. And the Holy Fathers say, look at humanity. When we see last week, our temptation is to go, well, God is so forgiving. God is so forgiving. It doesn't matter what you do, God will just take care of it. It's a God thing. You know, this kind of idea. And, of course, I have a person say, if we all rely on the mercy of God anyway, then why bother trying? It's all God's going to do anyway. What a dangerous way of thinking. Unless we think that what we do doesn't matter, the Lord and his church gives us this Sunday, the Sunday of the fearful judgment. There's an icon in the middle. You'll see the icon of the last judgment. Don't kiss it indiscriminately. Look at it. See the river of fire flowing from the Old Testament. You see the division between the right and the left, the sheep and the goats. Our society does not like this. But we can't really care what society does like. Society likes sin. It likes giving into addictions and passions. Our society likes antidepressants. Our society likes demonic things. It elevates adultery, elevates distortion. That's what our society that we're in, we're fully entrenched and a part of, loves. And everything in our society says, oh no, God is loving. As if God's love and his judgment aren't the same. They think, oh no, it can't be real. Everyone just, you just die, everyone goes to heaven. It's just, doesn't make, because otherwise it wouldn't be loving. Really? We say that God isn't loving, but God is love. Love's not an idea or philosophy, it's a person. Truth and love are a person, Jesus Christ. And when you're in him, you're in paradise, even in this life. And when we don't have him, you're in hell, living hell, even in this life. And so the words of our Lord today are super sobering. I hope you heard the gospel reading. I know it was a little bit loud, perhaps we spaced out, but this, from the Gospel of Matthew, is one of the most powerful parts. And our same Lord who spoke those beautiful words of the parable last week, our same Lord speaks these words. He who will decide where we spend eternity, brothers and sisters. And you know what you notice above all? What you do matters. Right? Protestants don't like it as being, oh, it's works-based, you're not saved by faith alone. Definitely not saved by faith alone. Look at the Lord today. It mattered. The difference between those who went into eternal life and those to eternal damnation was they didn't love the other. Actively, not just thinking good thoughts for them, actively suffering, sacrificing for them. And I don't know about you, but this should accuse us all deeply. Doesn't matter how many prostrations you do, how often you come to church, those things are important. But if you do all that, and you leave here, and you disdain the homeless man outside, and if you don't have love for him and prayer, if you aren't a human being to talk to him or her, right? To care about them, to care about your friends at work. I mean, forget the homeless person. How about the people you live with? If you can't have love and love them more than yourself and sacrifice for them, then this will be a very dread day on the day of judgment. Listen to the words of our Lord. He's telling us all about the final coming. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on the throne. He'll separate the sheep from the goats. And he says these beautiful words. On the right side, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." God has a kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. That's what he made us for glory, like the saints, to live in him in this short life and then in eternity. And a beautiful, how his house, his mansion has many rooms, specially prepared for each of us. And you notice later when he says, those who go into perdition, into condemnation, he says something very different. He says, you will go into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not meant for human beings. It's not what God meant for us. He has a place prepared. That's the norm. But in sin and warpness, going away from God, we put ourselves in a place that's not natural and not what God had intended for us. So God doesn't want people in hell. Are you kidding me? This people's false idea. God wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Christ wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. But it comes down to the same thing. Freedom. Freedom is a beautiful and terrible gift. It's a divine gift, brothers and sisters. What are we going to do with this life? This free life given to us. And it's really a stark choice. If you notice, the Lord didn't say, how many hours on your knees praying? Right? How many prostrations did you do? How many times did you do the sign of the cross? No. He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was hungry. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. In prison and you came to me. Lord, have mercy on us. I think we're far from this. Our society is far from it. And I fear that we are sometimes too. I fear that sometimes a husband won't do this for his wife. I fear that a parent won't even begin to do this for their child. I feel many children don't respect their parents enough to do this for their parents. How can we call ourselves Christians? How can I call myself a Christian as a priest if I'm not willing to love everyone more than myself? Or even just start with the people around me, like I said. Because it's not just going to be like, well, it's okay. It's okay, Johnny. There's better luck next time. No. The Lord says, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. He will say, another gospel says, depart from me. I do not know you. And he said, that's the key. That's the key. Living this life of the church, doing these works is an outpouring of knowing Christ. Because when you're repenting and you're coming to confession and you're living the life of the church, you see your poverty. You see how bad you are. I see how pathetic I am. I need God desperately. We need each other desperately. But as long as we're proud and arrogant and think we have it figured out, we don't need other people. We don't need God. As one priest I know says, we act like pagans, though we're Christians. What do pagans do? You want to have a good voice, you pray to Apollo as a pagan. You do some good works, he gives you what you want. If not, you pray to a different god. People make the church, make Christianity into a pagan religion. If it goes well, great, I got what I wanted. My candle, did this, that, or the other. Right? Oh, but I did confession, did everything, didn't work. Shoot, this doesn't work. It's not a slot machine. But we treat it like that. It shows that we don't really believe very much. And that we've created God in our own image and likeness. And this idea of a judge, oh no, God couldn't be a judge. Or God is either a terrible judge who's mean and hateful, which is why people don't want to be Christians, supposedly. Or it's the opposite. God would never judge. He is full of love. Brothers and sisters, it's the same thing. He made us. He created us. He breathed us into life and he takes us out of this life to the next. He can do whatever the heck he wants. His judgment is that I want you to be in paradise with me forever. That's his judgment. That's his prescription. That's his blessing. And he gives us this hospital, this church, the Orthodox Church, the ancient church. His body is the place to be healed. First, you have to know him. He says, depart from me, I don't know you. So all of our good works won't mean anything if we're not connected with he who is life. Very powerful that people say, what, Lord? When did we not feed you? When did we not clothe you? Because when people are looking, we're happy to do it, right? Oh, look at this good deed I did. Oh, look at this money I gave. Look, look, look. We pat ourselves on the back. And this is powerful, even the righteous. Did you notice in the gospel? The righteous didn't say, yeah, you're right, God. We always do those things. Right? They go, when did we do it to you, Lord? You see what I mean? They didn't wait for the Lord. If it was the Lord, of course, for the Lord, I'd do it for him, but not for some scumbag on the street. Not for that lady I don't like at work. No, I wouldn't do it for her. But for God, of course I would. We think like this. People in categories. Some people are worth our love and some people aren't. God help us. It's not love if it's easy. Anybody can do that. Pharisees can do that. The Lord's clear about that. But to love those who you don't like, who hate us, who use us, that's true love. The cross. And we promise to carry it. We can go around faking it. But notice that these ones, the blessed of the Father, they said, when did we do it to you? As you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Many an Orthodox saint, it says, God, our Lord Christ, has appeared in the form of a beggar to test your faith. There was a man who dressed up as a homeless guy. He was actually an LDS guy. He did it in Utah a few years ago. He was a member of his community, LDS ward, and he dressed like a bum. And he walked around the premise. He didn't go into the church. Just walked on the premises just to see how people would treat him. It was horrific how he was treated. He's pretty upstanding, one of their bishops. And then he went inside, pushed past people, and then he took his thing off and revealed that it was him, to the shame of his people. We should have this kind of love that you see Christ in the face of every person, right? When you go to the monastery, they love hospitality. They'll give you anything. Why? Well, they have love, but also because they say, you never know when you're entertaining an angel, right? You know the icon of the Trinity is the hospitality of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, the three angels, that was the Lord himself. So we should always think, this person, this annoying person in the apartment next to me, this person at work, person I don't like in my family, this could be an angel of God sent to me to see if I have real love. And I dare say that we don't have enough. I don't have enough. And that if we have to stand before this judgment, it'll be terrible, brothers and sisters. So what do? Do we leave here like, oh, shoot, I'm so nervous. Oh, God is going to judge me. No. How do we leave here practically? First of all, the Father said, if you judge yourself in this life now, then you will not be judged in the next. Isn't that beautiful? That's why in baptism, everything is washed away. Every stupid thing you did is washed away. Everything. You're a new creation. None of that will be stood before the judgment seat. It's washed. And every time you go to confession and you humbly repent and you fight to uproot that sin and that goes out of your life, it's gone. It's torn up. He tears the handwriting of our sins. So why do people want to go to confession all the time, do you think? To repent, because they want to always stand before God with a clean conscience. Always. In the monastery, they confess their thoughts every day to their spiritual father or mother. That's not possible for us, but we can't confess once a month. You should want to. You should want to confess the second you mess up, which is all day long. The second you make a mistake or judge someone, we should say, God, forgive me for that. I'm so proud. God, pain of heart, forgive me. We should go to that person. I'm so sorry I said that. And your prayers that night, you should say, God, forgive me. And then your next confession, you should bring it with pain. And the priest had the power given to him, the Holy Spirit. It's gone. And you can go to sleep at night and wake up in the kingdom, and that will not drag you down. And you can hear those words from our Lord, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over little. I'll make you Lord over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So it doesn't have to scare us. What's scary is to cop out. What's scary is to say God couldn't be a judge, or he's so mean. Neither of those things are true. God is love, and he's a judge for a reason. It's like having kids. If you have kids and say, my way of loving my kids is to let them do whatever they want all the time. and then still give them and have no consequences for them. This is terrible parenting. This is laziness and not love. Nor is beating the heck out of your kids at the time. You're going to listen to me. That's not love either. But this balance, right, is that there are consequences. There are struggles, right? So when my son gets in trouble, he needs a spank. He needs a time out. He can't go to this thing. He can't do that, right? The Lord sends those, right? We want to go on a walk and it's raining. There's a reason for that, right? We think we're all tough stuff and we get sick. There's a reason for that. We think we're going to live forever and we get cancer. There's a reason for that. Because not because he wants to judge us, because he wants to wake us up. And that's what today's reading is really about. Wake up. We're in a fog. I'm often in a fog, brothers and sisters. We're busy. We have family. Baptized my 8th child yesterday. I'm so thankful to God for my children and for my family and for all of you. We have busy jobs, school, our houses, our cars, our health, our clothes, all these things to deal with. And the temptation is to just get busy and caught up, and God falls into the background. And brothers and sisters, you have to be a weirdo. You have to be in church 24/7. No. Just take Christ wherever you go, right? When you put your pants on, the Father say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for this clothing. I'm like the homeless in the street. When you put your sweater on, say, thank you, I'm not freezing. When you eat your food, say, thank you for this food. Everything can be a prayer. Even if you work 80 hours a week, you can be constantly praying. Or at school. But it requires a mindset shift. That Christ, he is the great judge, for sure. And he will decide, brothers and sisters, where we spend paradise. And my job is to make sure that each one of us can go into paradise. Our bishop always says, I don't care. I want all of you going to paradise first. And if I have to stay out, I will. Like Moses to the promised land. So beautiful. And he means it. And that's my agony over you. That's Father Paul's agony. As I often tell you, this vestment of the priest has these tassels, these here. These symbolize all the souls that hang on the neck of the priest that he has to answer for before God. And I can't stand for a second thinking that any one of you, who I love so much, would go to the left. Depart from me. I don't know you. It's my job, as the doctor of this community, to make sure that you know Christ. That you come to know. How does that happen? Not by magic. Just living the life of the church. So you know what? If you live the life of the church, if you humble yourself, if you say in this great Lent, I'm going to keep the fast. Guess what? If you fast, you'll overcome addiction and gluttony. And then if you die, that will have no hold in you. And the Lord, you can tell before the Lord, I uprooted that passion by your grace, Lord. I'm not addicted, thank God. And you'll experience paradise in this life even. And the more you repent, and the more you humble yourselves, the more you have love, then guess what? I met an elder in Serbia who said, I'm sick of this Western scholastic theology that we should be like, oh gosh, so fearful the judgment seat. Oh God, grovel, grovel. He said, that's reserved for those who don't love God, don't love others, and waste their life. They should be afraid. They should be. But he said, not for us as Orthodox Christians. We should be the most excited to meet Christ. We should want to run to him in the judgment because the devil has nothing in us. But it's going to be very fearful if he has lots of daggers in us. Let's be real. Let's be real. A lot of people are addicts. We judge people. We're angry. I know most of us don't take care of the poor enough at all. Most of us are greedy. We don't want to give to the church. We don't want to give to homeless people. We don't want to do the dishes for our spouse. We don't want to do our chores as kids. How are you going to stand before the judgment of God, Pantelim? How are we going to do that? Pretty scary stuff. So let's make a promise in this community. We're starting now. Prayer, contemplative life, and the active life of serving others. Someone asked me this morning, how does a monk in a monastery deal with this? Because you'd say, he doesn't see anybody. A hermit in the mountain doesn't see anybody to feed. He's not near a prison. He's not anywhere. Is he going to be judged because he can't do this? No, there's a deeper level of this. Right? That monk repents, or that nun prays so deeply, and his repentance cosmically spreads throughout the entire world and heals all of mankind. I would argue that those monks and nuns have more love for people in the world than we do who are in it, if that makes sense. So we have two calls, brothers and sisters. Be a little afraid today, but let that fear not paralyze you. Let it motivate you to say, I do not want to be afraid of dying. I have many people say to me, I'm terrified by eternity, Father. I'm terrified by the idea of dying. That's not the way a Christian should be. He is our Lord. We want to die. Because I want to be, my mother was amazing. She was talking to me, I can't wait to meet Christ. I can't wait to meet the Panagia. What's it going to be like? Well, I was telling her, I have no idea. I read from the lives of the saints to her, and it made me weep because I want to be there too. I love this life. I love it truly. But it's hard sometimes, isn't it? People close to us die. We get sick. Everything is imprinted with decay in some sense. Every joy has an end. Why is that? The Lord did it on purpose so we don't get too comfortable here. So that the joys of this life make us yearn for the true fulfillment of it. And when things get hard and there's struggles and pain and death, it's a reminder that this is a temporary stopover, folks. And we want to make it everything. Let's wake up in this time, in this Lenten time coming. Let's get serious about our faith. Let's say we're going to love the poor. Starting with the person next to us, our spouse. We're going to stop being so darn selfish. We're going to love the homeless. I would argue very few of you have been to a prison to visit anybody this year. We're going to do that as a parish. I argue very few of you have been to a hospital to visit anybody. We're going to do more of that as a parish. How about the nursing homes where people languish? Not a single person's visited them for 5 years. You know how many thousands of people in this valley are sitting alone in front of a TV? No one visits them. That should break our hearts, and we should labor. And I ask forgiveness of God that He would wake me up to doing this. The monks and nuns can't do this. They pray for us. We have our hands in this world, and we're going to be judged accordingly. So let's promise we're going to throw ourselves in serving people around us, around this church, outside here, at your work, at your job, each other. But let's remember this. We're still going to be unworthy. Let's say we bust our butt doing it. We're still going to fall short. And that's why the love of God covers what we're missing, covers what's lacking. We're not earning anything. This love for others is an outpouring from a heart that knows that it needs Christ. So that's what our prayer and our confession. I want every single one of you to stand before God and say, I'm a sinner, but I did repent. I did confess. I did try, Lord. And the Lord says, enter on the right hand. That's my prayer for all of us, for all of you. Please hear the cry of the Lord who says, repent, wake up. Let's judge ourselves now. Spiritual fathers, their job is to judge you in many ways. People say, Father, are you judging me? I said, no, first of all, no. But second of all, that's kind of my job, the Holy Father said. If you stand before confession, before God at the judgment seat now, and you're naked, and He washes you, you have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear in death. I don't know how, that's so beautiful. Death has been overcome in you. So my prayer, brothers and sisters, in these days is that none of us leave here afraid today. Afraid and paralyzed, but a healthy fear. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Then we go on to say, perfect love casts out fear. We don't say trembling and so on and so forth. It's a good place to start. Lord, I'm really terrible in this way. I've offended you and lots of little ones. Please forgive me, Lord. Let's all come to confession soon. People say, I have nothing to confess, Father. Really? All of us can't confess this? We can fill our confessions with, I overlook people. I don't love people. I'm really selfish. All of us. And yet I often don't hear that. May we be aware of our sins. May we look at ourselves and stand naked before God in our prayers, in our confession with our spiritual father, and feel that love of Christ through your priest. He loves me. He forgives me. I'm clean. You feel like $1 million at a confession. Imagine that times a million at the judgment seat. But the opposite. When you stay away from confession, when you stay away from the church, when you kind of just fake it, your heart gets heavy. And the world starts to take you. And you get depressed. That's nothing compared to what will happen in the judgment seat. So may we be motivated, brothers and sisters, to live a holy life. To totally sacrifice for others. To give ourselves to God in this Lent. So we can hear those absolutely beautiful words that I hope every single one of us hears. Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'm excited to see the place that Christ has prepared for me and the place that He has prepared for you. I can't imagine the joy. It's so worth it. Father, I can't fast. I can't pray. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. Why? Because you don't believe it. You don't believe the joy that's waiting for you. I want you to challenge it this Lent. I can't fast. Yes, you can. And if you knew the glory of fasting, you'd jump at it. I can't pray. If you know what it's like to stand before the icon of God in the Jesus prayer, and it's not just work, and you feel Him, you taste paradise in this life. I want you to have that. But I can't make you. I can't make you. I can just inspire you. The Lord can call you. We have this, brothers and sisters. Fasting is joy. Prayer is joy. Serving the poor is joy. Otherwise, it's a hassle. Oh, I can't eat this. I can't do that. I got to stand here and pray. Because I can't do what I want to do all the time. That's hell. Being selfish and doing what I want to do all the time, that's hell. May the Lord deliver me and each of us from our personal hell and set us free. The ticket? Self-love will kill us. Total sacrificial love for others. Love for our Lord to know Him. On that judgment day, He can say, I know you. Come be with me for paradise. What a beautiful faith we have, brothers and sisters. Don't focus on the negativity and damnation. Focus on the place that is waiting for you. No sickness, no sorrow, no sighing, but the most beautiful joy you can imagine, times a million and more. I think it's very, very worth it. May God help us and forgive us for our shortcomings and wake us up to the life in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.